A mother was preparing pancakes for her son Kevin, age 5, and Ryan, age 3, and the boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. The mother saw the opportunity for a moral lesson. If Jesus were sitting there, he would say, "Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait." So Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, "Ryan, you be Jesus." Of course, the purpose of life is to become like Jesus, to become a true Christian, and that's what a Christian is, somebody that has Jesus living within them. Remember what St. Paul said, "It's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me." That is the purpose of life, to become less selfish, and to become more Christ-like, to become like Jesus. And that's what holiness is. If you look at the lives of the saints, they were Jesus living within them. And whether it be a Mother Teresa or John Paul II, people saw them and they could see Jesus within them because they were true Christians. And when we look today, how to become like Christ, the Beatitudes, that gives us the recipe. This gives us the way to become like Jesus, these 8 Beatitudes. The word Beatitude means blessed. Truly blessed. It's much more than a superficial happiness. Blessedness is something very deep, very profound. It's very interior. Even in the midst of difficulties and sufferings and trials and tribulations, a Christian should still have that blessedness, that interior peace, that interior joy, even in the midst of difficulties and sufferings. Some have said that the Beatitudes really summarize all of the Gospels in just embryonic form, that it is the distillation, it's the reduction of the Gospels just in 8 sentences of everything that Jesus taught and did can be summarized in these 8 Beatitudes. So when we look at the Beatitudes today, we see it is really the gateway to the Sermon on the Mount. If you go to the Holy Land and sit up on the Mount of the Beatitudes, it overlooks the Sea of Galilee. It says the Lord sat down to teach from the mountainside. This was the posture of rabbis. They would sit when they would give their explanation. So Jesus sat on the side of the mountain and thousands of people gathered around and he began to speak. And he gave us these 8 Beatitudes. And notice they're so different from the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is all about, you know, materialism, riches, wealth, pleasure, putting yourself first. The Beatitudes are opposite of the spirit of the world. They are truly the spirit of Christ. So he says, "Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." What does that mean to be poor in spirit? It's referring to spiritual childhood, to be like a child in the arms of our Father, that God is our loving Father. It means to be detached from the things of this world, to be more attached to the things of God and to the things of heaven. To be poor in spirit means to be trusting in God, our loving Father, to be generous with others. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. What does that mean, to mourn? It means to be sorry. We're sorry for our sins. We go to confession. We tell God we're sorry for our sins. We also are sorry for the sins of the world. We look and see abortion or terrorism or domestic violence or violence on our streets, and we mourn when we read the papers sometimes. And Jesus says, if you mourn in this life, you'll be comforted in the next. So we should be sorry for our sins. I remember in the life of St. John Vianney, the famous priest who would spend 8 or 10 hours a day hearing confessions, somebody went to confession to him, and St. John Vianney began to cry. And the person said, "Why are you crying?" He says, "I am crying for your sins because you are not." And that made a deep impression upon the person that we have to be sorry for our sins. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land." Meekness is referring to humility. It's referring to being gentle, to getting rid of pride and arrogance, to be meek. It says we will inherit the land. Remember the Irish comedian Hal Roach once said, "The meek will inherit the land, but not the oil rights." When it refers to the land, it's referring to truly our heavens is referred to as our fatherland, as our homeland. That's our true home. It's not in this world. Our true home is in the next. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Notice the words. Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those who might wish for holiness or maybe have some small desire for holiness. It says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for holiness. See, it's got to be that intense hunger and thirst for holiness, and you will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So if you ever want mercy from God, you have to be merciful towards others. We set the standard. Even in the Our Father, it says, Father, forgive me my trespasses as I am willing to forgive those who have trespassed against me. So we set the standard. If we're merciful towards others, then God will be merciful towards us on Judgment Day. If we're not merciful and forgiving towards others, then we tie God's hands and he cannot be merciful and forgiving towards us. But if we are merciful and forgiving, then we know as a guarantee that God will be merciful and forgiving towards us. That is the greatest way to guarantee a merciful judgment from God, is to be merciful, loving, and forgiving to everyone in this life. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. The heart refers to the whole person. So blessed is that person who is pure and clean in body, mind, and soul. Purity of heart, and they will see God. Not only see God in the beatific vision in heaven, but see God through faith on earth. I often meet people like teenagers or college kids. They go away to college and they lose their faith, they say. Why did they lose their faith? If you go a couple levels deeper, it's because it seems most of the time they've lost their purity. They've lost their purity of heart. They get involved in immorality, whether it be drugs, alcohol, other immorality, and they lose the purity of heart. And because of that, they can't see God through faith anymore, and they say they lose their faith. Just like a window, if it's clean, you can see through it. If it's dirty, you can't see through it. And so when people say that they've left the faith or lost their faith, they don't believe in God anymore, go a couple levels deeper and notice it's probably because they've lost their purity of heart, and they can't see God anymore through faith. So what's the remedy? Clean the window. Go to confession. Get back on the right track in following God and the commandments and the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Isn't that an honor to be called a child of God, a son or daughter of God? How can you be called a child of God? Be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker in your marriage, between brothers and sisters, between parents and children. Be a peacemaker at the workplace. Be a peacemaker in the neighborhood. And lastly, the last two have to do with persecution. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Someone once said, if it was a crime to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence against us? You know, if it was a crime to be a Christian, could people tell that we were Christians by the way we lived our life? So if we're persecuted because of your Christianity, because of your belief in God, your belief in Jesus, the teachings of the church about respect for human life, pro-life issues, marriage issues, family issues, if you're persecuted, Jesus says, rejoice. Because if you're persecuted in this life, he says, you will be truly blessed. And you will be great, it says. Your reward will be great in the kingdom of heaven. So how do we live these Beatitudes? What is our example? What is our role model? Of course, it is Jesus on the cross. When you look at the crucifix, you see all the eight Beatitudes being lived out. You see someone who was poor in spirit. You see someone mourning, so meek and humble, so righteous and merciful, so pure of heart, a peacemaker, and someone persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Jesus was insulted and uttered every kind of evil against him. And of course, that is our great role model, is Jesus Christ. So yes, we're called to be Jesus. We're called to be like Jesus. And the way to do that is not only to live out the Ten Commandments, but to live out the Beatitudes, which are the summary of the gospel.